Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, Israel, Past, Present, and Future. Amos was among the earliest prophets in the Old Testament. He was given different prophecies to the people of Israel, and risked his life to speak the word of God. The people ironically chose to believe the false prophets sent by Satan instead. It must have been devastating to be rejected by everyone, including the king. Amos provided insight into how God thinks and what life was like in the northern kingdom of Israel. All his warnings went unheeded. He was not alone. Each of the major and minor prophets during this 335-year period failed to turn the people around. The condition in Israel back then was no different than today. And if the Lord harshly judged the northern kingdom, do you think he will somehow exhibit a double standard and let us get away with sin? This message is entitled, The Warnings of Amos. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life for Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm glad you're here today, and we're going to dig in today in the series I'm doing of Israel, Past, Present, and Future. And I'm really getting excited about these messages because God is showing me things that happened 2,700 years ago, and it is still fresh for you and me today. Let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you that you will help me, Lord, to pray. Give this message, and that Father God, it be done in such a way that people can hear it, help it to read the Scriptures slow, Lord, and help it to be very articulate, Father. And I thank you for your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you probably have never read the prophets in the Old Testament. We read Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, maybe Daniel, but most of the prophets people do not read. And the reason for that is that, you know, it doesn't sound interesting. So what I want you to do, I want to take you back 2,700 years to Israel, the country had been divided into two kingdoms. We had the 10 northern tribes. We had Judah and Benjamin in the south. And there was no electricity. There was no, of course, air conditioning. Basically, to have water, you had a bucket. You had to hand dig them. And you got your bucket down. You got your water up. There was no bathrooms. So you had, you know, an outhouse, and life was primitive. No refrigeration, which meant that you had to go every day to buy freshly killed meat that had just been butchered. And, of course, you had to get to daily milk with goat or cows. It's a very simple life, and you had to bake the bread every day. And so this is life. At that time, they had learned how to make alcohol, and they knew how to drink and get drunk. They didn't have any pornography, so they simply had women to undress so that they could watch live pornography. They were cursing. They were doing a lot of different things, and they were simply doing things they should not do. And I want to skip around here, so I'm going to start with 1 Kings chapter 12. And this is the setup of the northern kingdom. And I want to pick it up in verse number 25. Jeroboam was a usurper. He was a king of the north. And then we had Rehoboam, who was King Solomon's son. He lives in the south. And as the kingdom had split, Jeroboam recognized that the people used to go to Jerusalem, to the temple, to worship. And he needed to break that. Jeroboam was a Kabbalist. And we're going to read how he set things up. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein. And he went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If his people go up to the sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of the people turn again unto the Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So he realized now, I'm going to have problems. I need to do something to address that. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Golden calves. Most of you that know nothing about the Kabbalah says, well, the Aaron made a golden calf. The golden calf goes back to Egypt. It's part of the Kabbalistic doctrine. And they worship these golden calves. So Jeroboam set up one calf, Bethel, one in Dan, and simply said, these are your gods, Israel. And the thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Notice now, this man, Jeroboam, took and simply said, we're going to have priests. And instead of taking them from the Levites, he took from the dreg of the society, the worst offenders around in Israel, criminals, low-life people, and he said, you are going to be the priests. Let me ask you this. Who are the priests in the United States? Matter of fact, in the world today. Well, they call them stars. They call them movie stars, TV personalities. And if you look upon these men and women, they come from the dreg. They are low caste people, so to say. They are filthy people. And they are made the priests. I just watched the news briefly this morning, and there was an American that was beaten to death in Greece just about 1 or 2 days ago. Young man, 23 or 24 years old, finished his college degree, got a degree and everything else. And, of course, how do you celebrate when you get everything you want? Where do you go? Some place where you can have a party time. So he went to this island in Greece, which was known for drinking, women, and booze, of course, just drinking. So he was there, and as he got drunk in a bar, he got in a fight, and they kicked him out, and about 5 or 6 men just kicked him until he was dead. But what really caught my attention was the media today. They talked about it to his friends and so on. A wonderful young man, so full of hope, potentials. He was going to do so many things. But they didn't say. He went to the bars. He ran for the whores. He was simply down in a gutter. And you go there, and, you know, people get killed. A few weeks earlier, there was an American military. He was a major in the U.S. Army. Took his wife and children and went to Belarus, which is also called White Russia, which was used to be part of the Soviet Union. And, of course, he decided to drink and go to the casino and got in a fight. Somebody took him in an elevator up to the higher floors, opened a window, threw him out, and, of course, when he hit the concrete, he was dead. A lot of lamenting over this great guy. But where did they go? They go to the bars, the casinos, the whorehouses. And what do you expect? There's nothing new under the sun. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificed it unto calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he made in Bethel, the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. He was successful because people like to sin. It's hard to get people to repent. It's easy to lead them to sin. People like to sin. They like to drink. They like to have sex outside of marriage. They like to gamble. They like to do all these things. And so he simply led Israel down a slippery slope, devised his own holidays. What about America? Well, you know, we got our own holidays here. We got Halloween. Have you ever noticed the advertisement? Probably towards September you have this advertisement, the spirit of Halloween coming. These superstores, they just pop up. And then, of course, you had Christmas. And people talk about putting Christ back in Christmas. He never was in Christmas. There's no Christmas in the Bible. And what do we do at Christmas? Well, we celebrate ourselves. Usually at a birthday party, you buy the gift for the person has a birthday. How many gifts do we give Jesus at Christmas? Zero. Who do we give them to? To ourselves. And, of course, there's no time that America drinks more than during Christmas times. And then after that, of course, we got Valentine, which is another cult holiday. And then we got St. Patrick's Day, where you can drink green beer, you know, and dress up in green. And then, of course, we got the Easter, where we celebrate the bunny, Easter egg hunts, and all kind of things. And we have set music to it. We got rituals. We are just like Jeroboam. We got their own holidays. And the sad thing is, Christians do not see this. They buy into that. So this is a little background here so you understand what happened by the time Amos came around. So let's go back to Amos right now. And I'm going to read here from a couple of, here we go, Amos. So let me talk first about the prophets here now. The prophet spoke 335 years. Period of 335 years. 14 prophets. Every prophet failed to turn the Jewish people around, or the people of the 10 northern tribes. Everyone failed. And you got the dates here that I have them for. You have Jonah, 790 B.C., Amos, 760 to 755, only 5 years. Hosea was active in 748. Isaiah and Micah were contemporaries, came later. Zephaniah, beginning 6:30, Jeremiah 6:27, Habakkuk 6:20, Daniel 6:04, Ezekiel 5:93, Haggai, only 2 months, 520 B.C., Zechariah from 520 to 510, and the last one, Malachi, 455 to 425. These were the prophets. And when we read it, as we're going to read today from Amos, we can feel the heart of God. God is simply pouring out his heart to the nation. And the Holy Spirit showed this to me. Notice that none of the prophets said, let's do the rituals. Let's go back to the rituals. Let's go back to the sacrifices. They all said this, repent, repent, repent. Amen. Judaism is a religion. And they always tried to go back to the religion of Judaism. But you never hear the rabbis or the pastors talk about repentance. It is always restoring the temple, restoring the holidays, restoring the feast days. And you got the Messianic Jews that are bringing back, you know, you got to have all the feast days, and you have a prayer shawl, and you got to have a little yarmulke in the back, you know. We got to be really Jewish. And it's almost like it's occultism. There's no power in a prayer shawl. There's no power blowing the shofar. There's no power in all these different things. There's only one name where there's power, and that's Jesus. And the church needs to state that. But you know, we are so religious. And it is so fun to have these rituals. But we forget to repent. Let me start in Amos chapter 2. And I don't know how far we're going to get today, so if we don't get done today, we get done next time, whenever that is. Amos chapter 2, and I want to pick it up here in verse number 4. This is the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Judah, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord, have not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Notice now the time here. We're talking about 790. And this was 700 years before Judah fell. This prophecy was there. And God simply said, I'm going to put fire on Jerusalem. Did the people take heed? No. Did they say, well, maybe that will happen? No. They just continued to sin. There were some revivalists, some kings that brought back revival, and they fell back again. And you see, it was a Kabbalistic leadership at that time. I always wondered, why did the kings do so evil? Where did they get the stuff from? And as I began to read closer, and I learned about the Kabbalah, I realized this was the Kabbalah in full power in Israel. And you know, most pastors never even know about it. They don't even teach about it. Did this prophecy come to pass? Yes, it did. We're going to talk about it later on. But do you know that Jerusalem was attacked 3 times? First, the king of Babylon came, and they surrendered. He took a few people captive, one of them Daniel. He put in his own king. And then they rebelled again. This time he came back. He broke into the city, took some more people out, and said, you know, behave. The prophet Jeremiah said, don't rebel. This is God's judgment. They rebelled again. This time the Babylonians came back, and they burned it. They took the temple down, stone by stone, and they burned everything they could. It was prophesied, and it happened. Dimitri Dudeman, was a Romanian pastor. He's gone home with the Lord. He prophesied that the American cities would burn. He talked about nuclear war. He talked about our big cities. He saw them burning. David Wilkerson gave a prophecy back in the 1970s. Set your trumpet to your mouth was the name of the book. And David Wilkerson was very popular. He's the one that founded Teen Challenge. And he would travel to Assembly of God churches. He was very popular. But the moment he began to prophesy about the coming judgment of America, the Assemblies of God said, you are no longer welcome in our churches. You are too controversial. Our people get depressed. So we don't want you. And he walked away. He's with the Lord right now. Both men are with the Lord. But you know, someday, the cities in America will burn. Now the next chapter, verse here. This is the Lord for 3 transgression of Israel, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Because they sold the righteous for silver. They sold the righteous for silver. In other words, the people that were righteous, they made slaves of them. And the poor they sold for a pair of shoes that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor and turn aside the way of the meek. And a man and his father would go into the same maid to profane my holy name. Group sex. One, the father, the son, walking into the whore and simply have sex with her and enjoying themselves. Nothing is new under the sun. Same old stuff for the devil. They lay themselves down upon clothes, laid to pledge by every altar. They drink the wine of the condemned in the houses of their God. Yet destroyed are the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of cedars. He was strong as the oaks, yet they destroyed his fruit from above and his roots from beneath. Also brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. And I raised up your sons for your prophets, your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O you children of Israel, says the Lord? But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. This is a bad time in Israel. Men are sinning. Women are giving away their bodies. Holy men, the Nazarites, were supposed to be giving teaching. They made them drunk. And they told the prophets, shut up. Does it sound like today in the United States? Does it sound like today in Europe? Same story. Satan has no new programs. It's the same old, same old. Generation after generation. And every generation is stupid and saying, we are so smart, we can do this and that. Every generation said the same thing. Give yourself 50 years. And when you hit your 70s, you're going to realize, man, was I stupid when I was in my teens or 20s. and you try to talk to the new generation, and they say, hey, old man, go away. You know nothing. We know everything. And you tell them, well, that's what I said. It didn't work. Behold, I am pressed under you as a cart is pressed and is full of sheaves. Therefore, the flight shall perish for the swift. The strong shall not strengthen his force. Neither shall the mighty deliver himself. Neither shall he stand at hand the bow. And neither his swift of foot shall not deliver himself. Neither shall he that rides the horse deliver himself. And he that is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked in a day, says the Lord. This is how Amos started. Who was Amos? Well, I'm just going to read from chapter 1 what he said here about himself. The word of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake, they had an earthquake. Amos, he was a herdsman. He was either herding sheep or cattle, a cowboy. And God spoke to him and said, Amos, I want you to prophesy for me. He didn't go to a prophet school. And by the way, folks, there are a lot of ministers today that are simply raising up prophets. And they have classes for prophets. They teach them how to prophesy. They teach them how to do it. Prophesying is when you get a word for the Lord. You don't practice that. You don't train for that. It comes from above. And of course, in the charismatic movement, in the Pentecostal churches, we have a prophetic movement, and everybody's saying, oh, we got these prophets. They were false prophets at this time in Israel. If you prophesy, you're either moved by the Holy Ghost, or you're moved by Satan or the flesh. These are the three things that move a prophet to speak. And Amos was a simple guy, and he spoke the word of God. His prophecy is now 2,700 years old. It's been proven right. There are prophetic things that still would happen. And the question is, why are we so dense to receive the word from the Lord and to turn from our wicked ways and walk in repentance and obedience? Israel is the greatest tragedy in the world. It is a colossal failure. I want you to think about this. It's about 4,000 years since Moses. 4,000 years. And they had 40 years in the wilderness. But 400 years under the judges. 122 years the kingdom of Israel existed. And then he had about 300 or 400 years in two kingdoms. And that was the end. And for all these years, the people of Israel have lived in rebellion. They rejected the Messiah. They reject him today. And yet, Judaism is revered. Rabbis are revered. You don't talk negative about Israel. You call an anti-Semite. I just read a report from Israel that they had to release, I think it was 235 rabbis in America that they had blacklisted because they had been sexual predators. They had molested children, boys and girls. It's a tragedy. Now, you and I are saved. Most of you that are watching today are saved. Hopefully, those of you that are not saved will be saved. But are we really listening to God? Are we paying attention? Let's move on now to chapter number 3. Hear the word that the Lord has spoken against your children of Israel, against the whole family which are brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, notice now that God calls them a family. They are not a race. Jews are not a race. They are not a special people. They are a family. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Strong warning. But that warning is not only to Israel. This warning is also to you and me. As a nation, we need to take heed and simply say we want to repent. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they agree? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he had taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Or trap? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and take nothing at all? Shall the trumpet be blown in a city, and the people not be afraid? Shall it be even a city, and the Lord has not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servant the prophets. God simply told Amos this, I will not do nothing unless I first reveal it to my prophets, and they will give a message. David Wilkerson came in the 1970s. Dimitri Dudamant came in the 1980s. There's been others speaking the prophetic word. Repent. Repent. Are we repenting as a nation? Not really. Have you ever wondered, why is it that the Bible Belt is hit so hard? Floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, fires in the Bible Belt, Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas, Tennessee, Texas, Arkansas. These are the states where they call it a Bible Belt, where we had the revivals. This where we had churches on every corner. But you know what? Most pastors in the South are members of Freemasons. The South has begun to sin. God said judgment begin in the house of the Lord. Have you ever wondered, why is it that, you know, we're not getting hit in California that bad? How about in the state of Washington? These were the people of the great revivals. Do you hear people, prominent pastors, simply saying, you know, by Florida and the South, we need to repent? Do you hear that? I haven't heard much. What I hear is, we will rebuild. We are strong. We strong people. We're going to rebuild again. But I never hear them saying, you know, should we repent? Obama almost said, we're going to rebuild. There's no problem. We rebuild again. And God said, okay, you rebuild it, and I'll tear it down again. When are you going to get it? Amen. If it is not preached in the pulpits, where it's going to be preached? You and I as individuals need to share with people in our surrounding. There's judgment coming. Right now we got a little reprieve with President Donald Trump. We don't know if he's going to get another 4 years. Depends on what will happen. Are we taking that opportunity? The line has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Amos, just a cowboy, came in from countryside and walking around in his cowboy clothing, prophesying. Of course, the people laughed at him. The political leaders laughed at him. Who's that nut? Don't listen to him. He's no good. What does he know? But God sends simple people to speak for him. In the rest of that chapter, you will find a prophecy here. Let's just read it there for verse number 9. Published in the palaces at Ashdod, in the palace of the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourself upon the mount of Samaria, and behold the great tumult in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. For they know not to do right, says the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, an adversary that shall be even round about the land. He shall bring down his strength from you, and your palaces shall be spoiled. Thus says the Lord, as a shepherd takes out the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so said the children of Israel taken out that dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed, in a Damascus couch. Hear you and testify in the house of Jacob, says the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in that day shall I visit the transgression of Israel upon him. I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter houses with the summer houses, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, says the Lord. Let's look upon time. We do know that this happened to Israel. They were taken out of the land, the 10 northern tribes. We know it happened to Judah a couple hundred years later. They were taken to Babylon. A remnant came back. We do know that three times the Jews rebelled. First, we had the Maccabee revolt. And there were several revolts after Jesus. And each time, they were crushed. The young men were taken as slaves and sold on the slave markets. And then, probably one of the greatest laws of it all, the Holocaust, from 1938 to 1945, when the Jews were gathered up in the different nations in Europe, taken to concentration camps. These were labor camps. And they had them labor first, but they couldn't labor anymore, they killed them. But millions of them were killed. And many of the Jews said, why us? Why us? What have we done? And the rabbis say, let's read the Talmud. Let's read in the Kabbalah. But they don't read the prophets. And God is saying to the Jewish people, what I spoke 2,700 years ago still stands today. You need to repent. You need to come to your Messiah. And you know the Bible teaches this. At the very end, it's going to be Jacob's trouble. We have 13 million Jews today living in the world that are Jewish. But the Bible says only a remnant will survive the reign of the Antichrist. Only a remnant. What will it take to wake up people? What would it take? Let's move into the next chapter. Chapter 4. Hear this word, you kind of Bashan. You know what the word kind means? Cows. Plural. God said through Amos, he called the political leaders cows. Have you ever seen how much intelligence a cow has? They're not very intelligent. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan. They're on the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to the master, bring and let us drink. Does that sound like our politicians today? Have you noticed this? That the Democrats always have bleeding hearts. But have you ever met a poor Democratic political leader? I'm serious. Nancy Pelosi? She's not a poor person. They own a lot of wineries in the Napa Valley. They are multimillionaires. You know, every one of these guys are very rich. Republican leadership, they're also very wealthy. Have you noticed this? That most political leaders are wealthy. You never see a poor guy, a homeless guy run for office and make it to be a governor. No. You got to have some dough. You got to have some rich friends. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days can come upon you, that he will take away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. And you should go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her. You should cast them into the palace, says the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal, multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifice every morning, and your tithe after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offering for this liketh you, O your children of Israel, says the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in your cities, and want our bread in all your places. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. And also have withholden the rain from you, when I were yet 3 months in the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the peace were put in rain, not withered. Does that sound like us in America today? One area has a flood. One area has a drought. Other areas have fires. Hello? God said, did you take notice of that? So two out of three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned to me, says the Lord. God says, I had select judgment. I was hoping you would return, you would repent. But you were too dense. You didn't understand this is a judgment. We blame it on the chemtrails. Yes, the United States is trying, the world government trying to manipulate the weather. But God said, you know, he has four angels that are controlling the winds of the earth. And God's in control of the water. Man can't mess with it. But this is amazing that we don't understand. Verse 9. I've smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have you not returned to me, says the Lord. You've seen the pestilence we have here. Eat up our crops. All kind of problems. I've sent among you the pestilence after the men of Egypt. Your young men I was slain with a sword, had taken away your horses, had made a stink of your camp to come up unto your nostrils. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. You look upon Germany. Germany reduced to a heap of rubble by 1945. Did the German people that survived seek God? No. What did we do? We gave them the Marshall Plan. The United States taxpayers rebuilt Germany. In 15 years, they called it the German miracle. You hardly find any churches in Germany. Very few people seek God there. Did the German people learn anything of World War II? And the answer is no. Did the American people learn anything? We lost millions of our young men. We got the big cemeteries in France and other places in Europe. White crosses, as far as you can see. Did we learn something? We lost 50,000 men in Vietnam. We lost 150,000 veterans to suicide when they came home because we got the curse of Vietnam on them. We lost 50,000 men in Korea between 1950 and 53. Did we learn anything? No. I overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have you not returned unto me, says the Lord. Therefore this will I do unto you, Israel. And because I will do this unto you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. He said this, fine, prepare to meet your God. That's the message you and I need to take out to the world today. Prepare to meet your God. And without Christ, it's not going to be a pleasant time. And we need to tell people this. When you die, if you do not have Christ, you will go to hell. Hell is a temporary place. It's God's jail. It's going to be a judgment someday when Jesus comes back. And those people in hell are going to go to the lake of fire. Do you understand hell is bad? It's temporary. But can you understand the lake of fire? It's a place that God has made. It's a closed system someplace out there. It's empty right now. But once people are being put in there, the devil will go there. The false prophet, the antichrist will go there. All the unsaved people will go there. And when you come to the lake of fire, there is no exit. There is no end. You will have a body that cannot be destroyed. It's a body indestructible. But it's a body that is filled with nerve endings. And you will breathe in flames all the time. No thermostat. And the flames will lick you. And you will scream in anger. You will scream in pain. And you will cry out. And then you will know this. That I will never get out of here. This is forever. I'll be here for a million years, for 10 billion years. I'll be here for a zillion years. I will always be in this place. If you and I as Christians understand that, we will be flaming evangelists. We will be telling people about Jesus. But you know what? We don't really believe it. We think about, well, it's out here someplace, yonder. But, you know, it doesn't apply to me. Do we have any compassion? Therefore, this will I do unto you, Israel. And because I will do this unto you, prepare to meet your God, Israel. We need to have people to prepare to meet God. For lo, he that formed the mountains and created the wind, and declares unto man what is his thought, and makes the morning dark and treads upon a high place of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Amos preaches heart out. Probably a few people listened to him. But the majority of the people said, ah, we don't believe that. We got our calves, we got our golden calves. We believe in evolution. We believe in reincarnation. We are modern people. We don't believe that. That's just, you know, stuff, you know, that we don't believe anymore. Superstitious. Sad, sad. I want to close here because we run out of time. But here's what I want you to take with you today. We covered four chapters of Amos. And I want you to, today, when you have your lunch at the church, after you wake up from your nap this afternoon, I want you to think about Jesus. I want you to think about God, the Holy Spirit. And think about, I'm saved. I am saved. Praise God, I'm not going to go to hell or lake of fire. But you know what? This relative over here, family members here, people I work with on a daily basis, people I rub elbows with, they're not saved. And I'm not doing a whole lot with them because I don't have an opportunity. Now, everything you do, you plan for it. You that came to the chapel today did not simply wake up in the morning, where's the wind blowing? Ah, we're going to go to chapel today. You planned it last night. You might have planned a few days ago. Some of you had to leave early to get here. And you made a decision, this is what you're going to do. When you go to work tomorrow, Monday, you have planned to go to work. You plan to do your shopping. You plan to do this. Everything we do in life, we plan, right? Now, some people just simply, you know, they're hippies, you know. There's still some hippies around. And, you know, they just go, you know, man, I don't know what to do. You know, we just do things, you know. But most of you plan. But have you ever asked yourself this question? When was the last time you planned to evangelize? When was the last time you planned to witness to Uncle Bob? Or to this guy George sitting over here? And you simply said, now, how can I reach this man? What is he like? What is he like to talk about? What's his time schedule? When is a good time to hit a guy up? If you begin to plan and simply say, well, I'm not going to save the whole world. I'm planning right now to lead one person to Christ this year. Because most of you have not led anyone to Christ in 10 years. So let's be modest. One person this year. So you plan. You find out what he likes. What books he reads. What music he listens to and so on. You try to find a point of contact. You try to find out when it's convenient to talk to the person. You plan it out. And then you act it out. And I can tell you this, if you plan to evangelize somebody, you will succeed because you're going to pray down for the gift of repentance. And that person will come to Christ. But you see, most of us don't plan to lead anyone to Christ. For some reason we think, you know, well, if I just walk around, you know, maybe somebody will get saved. That's stupidity. You plan everything in your life. You plan your dinners. You plan what to have for breakfast. Everything is planned except how to witness. I don't want to beat that anymore. So this is what I want you to take home with you today. Simply say, okay, I cannot save the whole world, but I will try to hone in on one person that I feel led to. And I'm going to do some planning. It might take 6 months. It might take a year. It might take a few weeks. But I'm going to plan to touch that person and lead him or her to Christ. You that are watching and listening, you might say this. I never really heard, you know, there's a heaven and a hell. And I don't want to go to hell. What do I do? Because there are some of you that are watching us. You're seeking. You're not saved. And here's the good news. You can get saved today, right now. Amen. All you have to do is to recognize that you're a sinner. That's not hard. We know that. Simply say, I believe in God. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. He rose on the third day. And he paid for my sins. I don't understand it. I heard that. It doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to accept it. So God, forgive me my sins. Jesus, come on in and save me. And he will. And that's how you get saved. It is so simple. When we finish here, you're going to find Charles Terrell coming. And Charles is going to, you're going to see him because just his voice. But he would take some scriptures. He would read the scriptures to you. And then he would say, pray with me. And he would pray a very simple prayer and lead you to Christ. And you can get saved today. Amen. So please do that for your own sake. And then call us, write us, let us know that you accepted Christ today. To those of you that are saved, I pray today that I fired you up. Amen. I pray today that I put some fire under you. That you will simply say, I'm sick and tired of not doing nothing. I'm going to be productive. I would love to hear from you. I would love when I get an email or a phone call or whatever. And you say, you know what? I'm planning to evangelize. And I'm starting today. Not manana. Not tomorrow. But today. I started my planning today. God bless you. We love you a whole lot. And I pray that God will bless you abundantly. Brother Henry, you come in close.
Thank you, Lord. An awesome message that came direct from you. As they were in the days of Amos, so we are today, a direct mirror image, Lord, no difference. And Father, I repent, Lord. Help us to repent, Lord, a gift from you, the gift of repentance, that we would change our ways. And while the hour is short, Lord, that we mean business with you. And Father, energize us by power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, energize us to reach out to our neighbors, to our those that we come in contact with, Lord, and to reach them for Jesus, that to change their destinies, Lord. Why should people go to these terrible places like hell and the burning lake of fire, Lord, meant for the devil and his agents? So, Father, we just thank you. Lord, I pray for everyone listening today, Lord, to keep them safe. Send angels to each and every one listening, Lord, by the power of Holy Spirit to keep them safe. Lord, we thank you, and to bring us again together next week. Lord, we praise you. May we walk that narrow road, Lord, that you've outlined for us. It's a narrow road, and few there be that find it, Lord. But, Lord, in these final days, that there still be people that find this narrow road. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the third part in the series, Israel, Past, Present, and Future, and was entitled, The Warnings of Amos. Amos was among the earliest prophets in the Old Testament, and he risked his life to speak the word of God. It must have been devastating to be rejected by everyone, including the king. Amos provided insight into how God thinks and what life was like in the northern kingdom of Israel. Nevertheless, all his warnings went unheeded, and so God sent selective judgments that had no impact upon the leaders and the people, as they just kept sinning and ignoring the Lord. God warned that he would remove them from the promised land and bring them into captivity, but
but the people paradoxically chose to believe the false prophets sent by Satan instead. Amos was a failure by human standards, but great in the eyes of God, because he was obedient to declare the prophetic messages given to him by the Lord. The condition in Israel back then was no different than today, and if the Lord harshly judged the northern kingdom, do you think he will somehow exhibit a double standard and let us get away with sin? Thus, the message Amos spoke should be taken seriously, since God is not a respecter of persons. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1607. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.